This morning's passage that we just heard from the Gospel according to Mark makes one thing clear about Jesus, and it's something unexpected. Namely, Jesus can be unreasonable. Now, I don't mean that as a blasphemy, but as an honest assessment of this passage that tells us about a big crowd that wants to be near Jesus, but then it's getting late and they need to be fed, and there's no food around. It's sort of like this scenario. Imagine there's this popular new restaurant in town, and the owner creates this exciting new dish on the menu. And he advertises it with billboards, with ads in the papers and flyers in your mailbox. So the next day, people are lining up around the block to get into this restaurant. Everyone wants to try this special dish, like right now. There's just one little problem. The chef and his staff simply don't have all the ingredients to satisfy this sudden demand to make the food required. So, with the people demanding their food louder and louder, the desperate staff turn to the owner for a solution. Come on, help us out here. But all he says is, you deal with it. That's pretty much the situation in this morning's Bible story. So no wonder the disciples protest. As we read in Mark, the disciples asked, do you want us to go and spend 200 silver coins, which was a small fortune, 200 silver coins on bread in order to feed them? Basically what they're saying is, are you kidding? We can identify with the disciples, I think. If we were in their shoes, we would protest too. This is just unreasonable. It's not fair. They just experienced what I call life in your face. So how did it happen? How did they get there? Now you need to know that Jesus and his disciples had only just begun God's ministry when they hear the shattering news of the cruel death of John the Baptist, killed by King Herod. So Jesus gathers his disciples and they go into what we now would call a retreat. Or as Mark puts it, so they went away in a boat by themselves to a lonely place. They want to be alone. They want to deal with their grief. They also need to refocus on their mission and regroup for the tough task that's ahead of them, a task that's even tougher now. But then Mark continues, many people, however, saw them leave and they recognized them. So they went from all the towns and they ran ahead by land and arrived at the place ahead of Jesus and his disciples. Sometimes life in your face can be like that. It throws you a monkey wrench and you need to stop and catch your breath and recover. But people still come to you with all their issues, their needs, and their problems. Listen to me. Deal with me now. I don't care how exhausted you are or how you feel. When we lived in Toronto, about 12 years ago or so, we knew this couple from church who became friends of ours. He was a stay-at-home dad, and she had a high-pressure job at an advertising agency. And I remember them telling us about raising their children. And she said that she would get home at night, exhausted from work, and her partner would meet her at the door with a baby in his arms, and he'd say, here, you take him. I really need some time for myself now. I'm just beat. And she would mumble something like, at least let me take off my coat. But he would already be out of earshot. That's an example of life in your face. We all know that feeling, don't we? We've all been there. And that's where this lesson from the Gospel intersects with our lives. This is one of the very few stories of Jesus' ministry that is reported by all four of the Gospels. It means that something important is transmitted in this teaching of Jesus. Now, with life in our face, we tend to rush ahead and fixate on the special effects of the multiplication of the bread, and we ooh and ah over the wonder of how God provides. However, in our hurry to get to the quick fix, the miracle, I believe we miss a profound truth that Jesus wants us to know. In fact, Without this truth, the 5,000 would never have been fed. Now, to put this a bit more in perspective, let me tell you this story. It's a story about a mighty warrior who had this magnificent, powerful war horse on which he rode down the road. Now, of course, everyone made sure to get out of their way. Everyone except this little sparrow. It was directly in his path and in the middle of the road, and it just would not budge. And when the warrior looks more closely, he notices that the bird is lying on its back with its feet in the air. Well, that's unusual, the horseman thinks, and he draws the reins and he dismounts. He goes over to the sparrow and he asks, "Are you dead? And if not, what are you doing in the middle of the road with your feet in the air?" "No," says the bird, still with its feet up. "I'm not dead, but I heard the sky might fall down, and I'm helping to hold it up." Yeah, I know. Well, when he hears that, the warrior shakes with laughter. He rolls on the ground, slapping his thighs, roaring with laughter, and every time he wants to say something, he gets another laughing fit. Well, finally, he wipes the tears from his eyes, and he says, "You silly bird. Even if the sky did fall down, what difference could you possibly make with those puny little legs of yours?" "Well," explains the sparrow earnestly, "you do what you can do." And that's exactly where generous living begins. We do the little that we can do to the best of our abilities, just like that little sparrow. And the gospel from Mark this morning, the story tells us how the disciples took stock of how much food there was. Just like the sparrow, it wasn't much. It was pathetically little. Jesus took the little that they brought him, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it back to them. And under Jesus' direction, they passed the bread around to the hungry crowd, and it turned out to be enough. In fact, it was more than enough. That is discipleship. Discipleship is living generously in the trust that even the little bit that we can offer will turn out to be enough if done in Christ's name. Volunteering for the shelter house, visiting the sick and the housebound, a caring phone call at just the right moment, an arm over a slumped shoulder, offering a ride to someone who has no car, a conversation with a street person, and so on. All those things are discipleship. And all those little things we do them out of faith and to the best of our abilities. Again, just like that sparrow. It's not going to happen if we lean back and expect God to do it for us. That's not faith. Faith is that we have the courage to step up to the plate first, trusting that God will provide. And the little we do then becomes enough if we do it not in our name or our sake, but in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Because that's what discipleship is. It's not just believing in Christ. That's easy. Believing in Christ is easy. It's the next stage. It's following Christ, living a Christ-like life in all we do. That's harder. It's creating opportunities for Christ's presence and blessings to do their work in this world. And that's a lot more challenging. Christ invites us to work in partnership with him because he believes in us. That's what our scripture story this morning shows us. Christ tells his disciples, and by extension he tells us, we are his disciples just as well. He tells them and us, "This is life in your face. You deal with it." Not because he doesn't want to be bothered, and not because he wants us to do the dirty work for him. No, he tells us to deal with it because he knows we can, if we have faith in him. Together with Christ, we can start building God's kingdom of abundance for everyone, one small act of generosity at a time. That is what discipleship is. And that is what being church means. It's a big, big honor. And I don't know about you, but I find it pretty exciting. It's also a big, big challenge and a pretty big responsibility. So thank God, it's not just up to us. Amen.